The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. FLOT, Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It's a short show, only about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation, because we're not trying to con you, not trying to raise money, not trying to sell you something, but we are trying to give you something, give you information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life, if you choose. And if you choose, we hope that you will orient and adjust to that plan. Don't forget that God gave you two ends, one of them you sit on and one of them you think with, and success in your life is going to depend on which one of those you use. As they say, heads you win, tails you lose. So listen up, learn up, and apply it into your life, and hopefully God will be glorified through it all. It's my privilege to come to your home, come to your car, wherever you are listening. Thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time. We want to talk about invisible heroes. Invisible heroes today. I believe it's possible that you may be one of those invisible heroes. Unfortunately, today's generation seems to be fascinated with social exposure. Through media sites like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you might not even know what that is if you don't pay attention to the internet. Even professional bass anglers now have what's called a Starlink connection to their boat, so that they can broadcast all day, every day, the tournament they're in, and show you every cast they make. It's called an all-day feed. And I'm sure that most folks are unaware these sites pay money to those individuals who have high viewer numbers. That's why the producer of the content will always ask you to hit the subscriber button or hit the like button. The more likes or the more subscribers, the more money they make. Most of you who listen to this broadcast do not subscribe to any social media, but I keep up with certain individuals who maintain YouTube channels, especially fishermen who compete at the national level. I do this because it allows me to enjoy the great outdoors without ever having to leave my desk or my chair. Those guys or ladies that I watch are visible, but I'm rather invisible since I don't post video content. We do podcast our radio shows, you know that, and currently you may be listening over one of the podcast channels. We have over 1,000 shows available to be heard, and those who know, those who help organize this, tell me we've had almost 2 million plays according to the current analytics. That's 2 million downloads or 2 million plays of our show, The Flatline. I don't know what has propelled these folks to have to be notice these people that are social media people, what's causing them the need to be acknowledged or why they need to share every detail of their private life. But I want to assure you of one thing. God is watching and wanting you and me to become mature believers so we can glorify Him. The thing we have to understand is that we don't have to have a visible ministry to bring maximum glorification to God. The Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Even your daily tasks can bring Him glory. Having dinner can bring Him glory. Do you pray before your meals? Do you bow your head and thank God for the food and ask Him to sanctify it so you don't get sick over it? When you take a drink, do you thank God for the what He's given you to keep you alive and well? Everything you do for the glory of God. And it's repeated again in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, it says, do it heartily. The word heartily is the word psuche. And that's what we know as the soul. Do it from the seat of your feelings, your desires, your affections. Do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, again in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it heartily, with all effort, with all affection, with all desires. As you face this day, remember that you are here for a reason. So even though you might not understand what God's plan entails for you currently, if you will go forth with great enthusiasm and great expectations, He will reveal and lead you in His will. You may be up in years, like me, getting up there, and you may live a relatively quiet life, but every breath you take can glorify your Lord if you are a mature believer. You heard that, if you are a mature believer. Your faithfulness to be a mature believer is a testimony to God's love, which He has showered on you this day so you can serve Him. This is because you are being observed by God and the angels 24/7. You didn't realize that. You don't have a YouTube channel. You don't have a Starlink. You don't have a Facebook page. But you have an angelic page, and they're watching everything you do. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching you, keeping watch over you, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. And in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. You know, God's only looking for two things from you and from me. He's looking for faithfulness and loyalty. As an invisible hero, we can bring God much glory by being obedient and being faithful. For example, if the Scriptures give us a command, are we faithful to fulfill the command? And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments, but rather the mandates to stay filled with the Holy Spirit and to study God's Word on a daily basis. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent, that's faithful, obedient. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't be ashamed when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and find out you did all the right things in the wrong way. You weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. You weren't controlled by the Holy Spirit. You let your sin nature run your life, and you had a good side to you. You attended church, and you tithed, and you sang in the choir, and you prayed, but you did it all out of fellowship, all in the energy of the flesh. And you will be ashamed when you see it burned up at the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, and stubble. So you need to rightly divide the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, you can wrongly divide it. That's why you have to have a well-qualified pastor to teach it to you. So this word, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman does not need to be ashamed. Diligent is a Greek word for study, and it is an imperative verb. And it means this, it's a divine mandate, not just a divine request, because if you intend to bring God maximum glory from your life, you must be obedient to fulfill this commandment. What a shame it would be if you arrive in heaven, and then you discover you never really fulfilled God's plan for your life. This means you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells you that. Be filled with the Spirit. And that you must have someone who is qualified to teach the Scriptures to you. The Bible is, in fact, a textbook, not a novel. I don't care how many times you read it through, you're not going to learn it yourself. It's a textbook. God has equipped certain male individuals with the gift of pastor-teacher in order to correctly instruct us. So our job is to find that individual, that male pastor-teacher, and be faithful to study under him, face-to-face, or maybe over the internet using streaming video, or maybe just study his writings, if that's the best thing you can do. The point is this, that invisible heroes have a tremendous impact on their surroundings, even though the general purpose might not even know you exist and might not even know your name. Listen, I'm not a pastor, but rather an evangelist. And my job is to recruit you to the kingdom of God and point you in the right direction. Your job, in 2 Peter 3:18, says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So your job is to grow. Grow in grace, living grace, dying grace, surpassing grace, saving grace, and grow in knowledge, understanding, knowledge, the difference between gnosis and epinosis, the two Greek words, one meaning knowledge and one meaning full knowledge. So you have to grow in grace and in knowledge. That's the mandate from God. So here's a few principles I want you to remember. The invisible hero is the product of the divine dynamics that God has set out. The filling of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, and the pastor teacher who feeds it to you. He or she may be unknown in the community, an invisible hero, but they are a source of blessing to all who are exposed to them. 2. The invisible hero has reached spiritual maturity and gives maximum glorification to God. That means they've gone through spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, and they're now living in spiritual maturity. 3. Invisible God plus invisible assets plus invisible power equals an invisible hero. And 4. No believer can execute the protocol plan of God and become an invisible hero or glorify God apart from the teaching ministry of a well-qualified pastor. 5. Personal impact is defined as blessing to others by association, even though they might not be aware of it. 6. From these invisible heroes, mature believers, come evangelists, pastor teachers, missionaries, who extend the spiritual life of a nation like us. And 7. A large pivot of invisible heroes, that's a lot of mature believers, means the nation has national blessing and prosperity in spiritual affairs, as well as the function of government, law enforcement, military modus operandi, the economy, and the culture and social life of that nation. So as people grow and mature in Christ, they are a blessing to their nation in a lot of different areas. The invisible hero is also being observed by angels. And there we go. Here you are being watched. This is your TikTok page. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels, there it is, and to men. So not only are men watching them, he said, but we're being watched by angels. In 1 Peter 1:12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those things who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to understand. So angels are watching the apostles, watching you. You can't see them, but they got an eye on you. They learn from you. They learn from your faithfulness. They learn from your obedience. They learn from the tremendous courage you have to learn and apply the plan of God in your life. But the greatest problem that you and I have in our life is arrogance. Arrogance is the greatest hindrance we have to becoming an invisible hero. You know what arrogance is: self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption, and then eventually self-destruction. So the arrogant individual, maybe he's even a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will justify why it's okay for him or her to commit certain sins. And that self-justification leads to self-deception, thinking that God's okay with it, and he's not. And that self-justification, self-deception leads to what? Self-absorption, to where they're totally absorbed with it. So you have to understand that arrogance is the greatest enemy. You won't hear preachers preach on arrogance very often. Sometimes they'll call it pride, but that's a different thing. Arrogance, Romans 12:3. Listen to this verse. For I say through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who's among you, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think, but think in terms of sanity for the purpose of being rational without illusion. Because God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. So here Paul the Apostle in Romans 12:3 is telling us, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance. There's only one way to die as a believer. And when that comes, and it will eventually, that's to die as an invisible hero. For if we live, Romans 14:8, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's the attitude of the invisible hero. That's what I want you to be. I want you to be an invisible hero because you are faithful to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You're faithful to study the Word of God on a daily basis under a well-qualified pastor. And you will glorify God to the maximum and be a tremendous blessing to anyone in your periphery. So we have the opportunity after we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to become these invisible heroes. Remember that during the church age, which is what we live in, there are no visible angels. We're not in the Old Testament, so we're not seeing angels. If somebody tells you that an angel showed up, you have to be careful about that. There are no visible angels running around appearing to people. There are elect angels. There are falling angels. And these angels do watch our every move, watching everything that we're doing. They're learning from us because we're like in an arena being observed by angels. But the invisible hero, which I want you to be, and I want to be one as well, has a tremendous influence on every facet of our lives. You know why? Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the destiny of the nation that you live in. You've heard me tell you that before. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of your country. If you're obedient to God's word, if you're faithful to God's calling, it's entirely possible you will be called upon to come forward at the right time. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but God will call on you. There's a time coming when He will bring you out of the shadows. There's a time coming when you will have a visible impact. Right now, maybe you're invisible. Maybe you're living alone and you're by yourself, or you don't have much of an audience, many friends, but you're taking in the Word of God, you're staying filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're maximum glorify God in everything you do, whether you eat, whether you sleep, whether you drink, do all for the glory of God. That's what the passage says. Gideon is spoken of in the book of Judges, chapter 6 through chapter 8. Gideon lived around 1252 B.C. He was the fifth judge in the history of Israel before they arrogantly asked for a king, and they got one named Saul. But Gideon was indeed an invisible hero. He was called out of obscurity to lead the Israelites to victory over the marauding Midianite army that would come and take everything the Israelites had. So not only did God use Gideon, but there were also 300 unnamed warriors who were in fact recognized by God as invisible heroes. Listen to Judges chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that I tapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Tell all the others to go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelite army home and kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. And it was these 300 that delivered Israel with a brilliant tactical move at night that God revealed what to do. So I want to ask you a question, if you allow me to do that. I'd like to know, can God count on you? Have you been faithful and obedient to love and serve Him? It may be true that you live alone. It may be true that you don't have much exposure to the outside world. But I assure you, God knows who you are, He knows what you're up to, and He knows when He will put you in the game, when He will call on you. Let me share with you some content of a book entitled The 12th Man on the Team. This was written by my pastor, R.B. Thieme, in 1969. I'll read to you from the first page of the book, The 12th Man on the Team. Listen up as I read his words. On January the 1st, 1922, on the Dallas, Texas fairgrounds, where now stands the Cotton Bowl, Texas A&M College, which is now Texas A&M University, played an important football game against a prominent national team known as the Center College of Kentucky, or they called them the Praying Colonels. Center at that time was coached by a very famous coach named Uncle Charlie Moran. The underdog team that day was definitely Texas A&M, and their difficulties began to multiply immediately. By the halftime, the Aggies were not only on the short end of the score, but they were also very short of players. Coach Dana Bible, who at the time was the coach of the cadets from College Station, had not only started with an undermanned squad, but had also so many men hurt in the game that he realized in the second half he would not be able to field a team with only 10 men. It was a very discouraging day when the prospect for Texas A&M College lined up in the stands, but up in the stands, there was a young A&M student by the name of Kane Gill, now a medical doctor in Corpus Christi, Texas. And that's 1969. Kane Gill had gone out for the team, and though he was too small, he maintained a tenacious mental attitude and determinedly stuck with it. So all year, in spite of the fact that he was not even accepted as a member of the team, he continued to work out with them. He learned the plays, he stayed in condition, and he kept up with the team. Finally, on this particular day, when Texas A&M squad ran short of players, Coach Bible called Kane Gill out of the stands and told him to get into the uniform, that he was going to play in the game. And play he did. As a result of his play, the Texas A&M team was so inspired that they actually won the game by a very close margin. And it's a never-to-be-forgotten event in the football annals of that school. It's called the 12th man. So the question is, will you be prepared when God calls you out of the stands? Will you be prepared when God calls you out of the stands? You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament where God said he looked for someone to make up the hedge and stand in the gap, and he couldn't find anybody. He's watching you. He's paying attention to you. I know you live alone. You may not have much impact in your community, but you can be that invisible hero that will deliver the course of the nation. One man unknown, one woman unknown, can deliver what's going on in this nation. I'm counting on you to be that invisible hero. I'm counting on you to be that faithful person who is obedient and faithful. The two things God's looking for in your life, obedience and faithfulness. If you're that point, if you're that individual, then you're going to be that invisible hero that God is looking for. Don't forget Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. So he's looking for loyalty. He's looking for faithfulness. And as an invisible hero, you will bring him much glory by being obedient to his word and faithful to fulfill what he tells you to do. So is that you? Are you faithful and obedient? When the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you faithful to study the Word of God on a daily basis? You may wonder how you do it. Let me tell you how you do it. If you don't have a local church where there's a pastor teaching you, there are a lot of things you can do. You can get the books, the writings. You can write to me. I'll get you the material so you can study it. All of our books are free, by the way. They don't cost anything. And you can study that way, and they'll point you to where there is a qualified pastor where you can get his books as well, free. Or you can listen by means of the Internet to the streaming video or streaming audio messages that well-qualified pastors teach. That's exactly what I have to do. Since I'm not able to get to a local church, I listen by means of the Internet on a daily basis, listening to my pastor teach the Word of God. It's as though I'm there in person, but I'm not. And you can do the same thing. So you can't make excuses and say, well, I don't have time, well, I can't go, well, it's not available to me. Well, I'm old. I don't care what your age is. If you're still alive, God still has a plan for your life. And that plan is for you to have an invisible impact in your nation as an invisible hero. God's counting on you to be that person. But it starts with your salvation. If you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be anything. The greatest decision you could ever make is to accept Christ as your Savior. You have to do that eventually. The Bible says it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Without Christ, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. So I pray you will make that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand that He died on the cross, paying for your sins and mine, that He was buried and 3 days later walked out of the grave and is alive today. And the wonderful thing about that is He will come and live in you. He'll give you a new heart. He'll make you a new man, a new individual with a new future and a new destiny. So I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. If you've never trusted Christ, do it today. Make this the day of your salvation. Make this the day that you bow your head and say, Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm willing to accept Him as my Savior right now. It'll be the single greatest decision you ever made in your whole life. If you do that, let me know, please. I got something I'd like to send you free of charge, but I can't unless you let me know who you are and where you live, what your address is. And I hope you'll come back next week. I hope you'll continue to march on to be that invisible hero that I'm speaking about so you can give maximum glorification to God in your life and everything that you do. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I hope you will stay with me. It won't be long, only about 30 minutes. We call it 30 minutes of inspiration, motivation, and no manipulation. That's right. We don't con you. We're not trying to ask you for money. We're not going to try to sell you a book. We just want to give you information. Hopefully, that information will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And then you have to make a decision. Do you want to orient and adjust to the plan or just move on down the road? It's up to you. I wish I could see who's listening. I wish I could see if you're in your car, in your home, on your way to church, or wherever you are this morning. But I'm very grateful that you give me a few minutes of your time. I promise I won't waste your time. I'll give you accurate information that will give you direction in your life if you're interested. But I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. And by the way, you can always get to us on our website before we get started. That's rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org, or you can call us at 800-831-0718. You can order any of our books that are free of charge. If you go to our website, you'll see them. We also have many of our books are read to you verbally by Jack Steele, our radio announcer. He'll read the book to you. You can just click on it and it'll play. So take advantage of that information if you'd like to learn more about the plan of God for your life. So now, let me ask you this serious question this morning. It's a pretty serious question, so hang on to your hat. If you died today, and I pray you don't, but if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you died today, would you go to heaven? You know, a lot of people think it's not even possible to know that. But is it possible to really know for sure? How could you be absolutely confident about going to heaven if, in fact, you did die today? In 1 John 5:13, the Bible says clearly these words, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know," K-N-O-W, "that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." It did not say you hope. You didn't say you try. It said you will know if you believe in the name of the Son of God. That's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what Paul told the Roman jailer when he was loosed out of the jail. And that's exactly what Jesus said, "If you believe in me whom he has sent." So notice the conditions for having eternal life. Believe is the verb. Believe in the name of the Son of God. I just quoted it. "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." That word believe is the Greek verb pistuo. Pistuo. That's the Greek word. Translates English, believe. Spelled P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Pistuo. And it's the verb counterpart of the noun pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which is the word faith. So we got believe, pistuo, and faith, pistis. It means to be convinced of something. It's the word used to express the central conviction of the Christian faith, according to the dictionary written by Muntz of the New Testament Words, M-O-U-N-C, Muntz Dictionary. Great book. If you don't have it, you ought to get it. Full of New Testament words, and you can look them up and see what they mean. That's where I get a lot of these definitions from. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself said this in John 6:40. "This is the will of him," that's the will of God, "the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him," there we go again, pistuo, "may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. "If we believe," there it is, "if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, death, burial, and resurrection, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And those that are already in heaven at the rapture of the church will come back to set up the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every individual on this planet, every individual on the earth will eventually have to make a decision in regards to the true identity of Jesus. You know, all of us come to God consciousness at some time in our life, usually at a young child. Sometimes they call it the age of accountability, but it's a God consciousness. The Bible teaches that God has revealed himself to every person, regardless of who they are, through their conscience. Even though this act of God's love is available to everyone, some people still reject the knowledge of God and substitute their own desires and their own wishes. Romans talks about it in Romans 1:24 through 25. Listen to the rejection of God in their conscience and forming their own God. Here it is. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." So everybody knows that God exists. Everybody comes to that availability, that thought. There is a God. The question is, who is he? Individuals such as these that I read about up there in Romans 1:24 are negative at God consciousness, and would wind up being negative if they heard the gospel. If they're negative at God consciousness and they say, okay, that rock is God, or that tree is God, or that can is God, and if they hear the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, they're going to reject it because they went negative at God consciousness. If you're negative at God consciousness, more than likely you're going to be negative when you hear the gospel. So their decision to reject God would lead to a decision to reject Christ. God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their heart. If you have to read the rest of that passage, know what it's talking about. But it's talking about a dishonorable lifestyle of homosexuality. So their decision to reject God would lead to a decision to reject Christ. And even though they may build temples or shrines in an attempt to please the god of their imagination, they will never see heaven. Listen again to Romans 1:20. For since the creation of this world, now here's how people know there is a God. For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You hear that? No excuses. Even from the creation of the world, God can clearly be seen, understood. He exists. But listen to verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. This is what the human is capable of doing, rejecting God and creating his own God. And therefore, God gives them up to the desires of their heart. If you have made the decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, I promise you, you are guaranteed eternal life. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's our word again, so that you may know if you have believed in him. Some believe you can lose your salvation. You know that. You've heard people talk about that. I used to be saved, but I'm not saved anymore. I committed some bad sin, or I rejected that stuff. I don't believe that stuff anymore. A lot of people accept God consciousness, or accept Christ when they're young, and maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, and they get to college, and they get convinced there's no God, and they turn on God. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he, that's God, remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What does that mean? Once you're brought into the royal family of God through faith alone and Christ alone, you're not going to be kicked out. You may walk away and you may say, God's not my father anymore. I don't believe that stuff anymore. But you are a member of the royal family of God, and he's not going to disown you. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In John 10:28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone ever snatch them out of my hand. We see, once you're in God's family, he will never disown you because you committed some egregious sin. Remember, it's not the sin that condemns anyone to hell. Why? Because Christ paid for all of our sins on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, again verifying the fact that he paid for all sin, this verse says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might could become the righteousness of God in him. And then in 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sin of the world. My sin and your sin, we should have been the ones crucified, but we did not get crucified. We were given the opportunity to have eternal life through his sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection. So remember this, if there's nothing you can do to earn God's forgiveness, then it's very obvious there's nothing you can do to keep his forgiveness. You got it free, you keep it free, he's not going to take it back. Now you can destroy your testimony and ruin your impact for the Lord Jesus Christ while you're in the devil's world. In fact, you could have already made a mess of your new life, but thank goodness God has kept you around for the time being. If it hadn't have been for my pastor's faithfulness in teaching me the Word of God, I probably never would have had a ministry. I would have self-destructed a long time ago. But the first most wonderful doctrine I learned from my pastor was how to rebound, or how to recover from my sin. We call it problem-solving device number one on the flight line of your soul. Rebound is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And that's the key to remaining filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have a choice today. We can decide to learn and live God's plan for our life, or we can continue to rock and roll down the my way highway, making a mess out of our life. It's your choice. But I am assuring you that God is looking for a few MVPs, most valuable players, those that love Him. You know, you got the MVP of the football game, the MVP of the basketball tournament, the MVP of this or that. God is looking for some MVPs. Did you know that? He wants you to be the MVP of His plan. Listen to Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none, zero, not one. This is a bad testimony for a nation, not one righteous person in that whole nation. Can God count on you to be the MVP? If He checked you out, would you fit the bill? Do you know what an MVP even is? Because the individual God is looking for must have some sort of spiritual momentum, including hearing and keeping His word on a consistent basis. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound doctrine which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep it by means of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So listen, you can sit in church and not pay attention, daydream, drift, that's a problem. Sometimes as a communicator of the Word of God, I see people sleeping. I see people that shut their eyes, kind of nodding off. I want to tell you something. There's nothing more insulting to God than to nod off while His Word is being taught. In the Old Testament, according to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 3 through 6, they stood up while the Bible was taught, while the law was read. And to the extent that you sit there and close your eyes and nod off and go to sleep when the Word of God is being taught, you got a problem. Because this is the most precious thing you will ever have in your entire life. It's the greatest treasure God could ever give you. It's a word treasure. If you're going to sleep through it, you've got to pay attention. You've got to be faithful. And if you do that, then you can establish some momentum in your life. But church is not something you audit. Get no credit for coming, you just audit it. The Christian auditor attends church, but he doesn't apply what he learns. So let's look at an MVP. What is an MVP that God's looking for? Well, M stands for momentum, as you heard me say. You got to have some momentum. Momentum is hearing and keeping the Word of God on a consistent basis. That's what it boils down to. Our Lord Jesus Christ told some one lady that interrupted Him one time, where she said, "Happiness belongs to the breast that bore you in the womb, the womb that bore you in the breast on which you nursed." And he rejected that. He said, "No, no." He said, "Happiness belongs to the people that hear my Father's word and keep it." And so momentum is the most serious thing that you could have as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ability to consistently study God's Word on a daily basis. To consistently take it in under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, not reading some daily devotional 10 minutes in the morning before you go to work. That's not it. I'm talking about sitting down, listening to some man who has the gift of pastor-teacher teach you the Bible, word for word, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what momentum is. And then applying what you hear. The Bible says you get it in your nous, N-O-U-S, which is our word for the mind. But it has to wind up in your heart, cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. Both of those are in your head. One is where you receive it, and the other is where you store it and use it. The heart has a conscience, and it's in the conscience that we circulate these scriptures that we learn. And when we need them, we can pull them out and use them and apply them in our life. We don't have to run to the preacher and say, "Preacher, tell me what I'm supposed to do now. I don't know what to do now." He's like, "Well, you've been going to church here for 10 years and you hadn't been paying attention. You should know what to do." Momentum is essential. You can never be an MVP without consistently studying the Word of God. And it doesn't have to be a ritual. It has to be a reality. It has to be a genuine hunger in your life to learn and grow and apply. Study, learn, grow, and apply. Someone that I know, a pastor I know, used the term lag, L-A-G. Learn, apply, and glorify. Lag. Learn, apply, and glorify. That's what momentum is. And in your life, unless you establish momentum, you're never going to be an MVP for God. What does the V stand for? That's the word virtue. The only way you're going to be able to function in the devil's world is to have fantastic virtue. In 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Once again, the Greek word for virtue is arete, A-R-E-T-E, arete, and it means integrity or morality or blameless if possible. What is the enemy of virtue? Well, it's our own arrogance, our own self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption, our own arrogance. But virtue is the visible manifestation of the invisible thing in your life, your love for God. The function of impersonal love is a visible demonstration of a mature believer's spiritual life. Problem-solving device number 8 on the flat line of your soul's mentality is impersonal love. And we'll talk about that in our next lesson. But if you have loving God, you've got to love those that God created. So that's the virtue we're talking about. The honorable way to live. The moral way to live. The life of integrity. Blameless, to have virtue, arete. And then finally, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has to demonstrate some poise. What is that? Well, that's the ability to think under pressure. In other words, the ability to keep your cool when things get hot. You know, professional prize fighters look like they're mad at each other, but they're not. They're thinking. They're learning, when can I punch? When can I counterpunch? They're timing. There's so much involved in a professional fight. And it's not the temper. You get mad at the opponent, you're going to get beat. Because you quit thinking and you start swinging wildly. The believer has to think under pressure. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We have to learn to think. What are we supposed to think? Well, we have to think divine viewpoint. That's the scripture. That's the Word of God. Why should we thank it? Well, because the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's your decisions, and your decisions, what you're thinking about and how you do it. Your thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what the Word of God does. It's a critic of that. And so without some momentum, you'll never have any poise spiritually in your life. You'll never be able to think under pressure. You'll never be able to keep your cool when things get hot. But a person that has some poise has dignified self-confidence. He has the ability, or she has the ability, to remain focused, steadfast in pressure situations. And this is only because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Because of the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to remain focused. When the Word of God is circulating in your memory, you have that confidence in God's plan. Moses demonstrated poise at the Red Sea episode. You remember the Pharaoh was headed to get him, going to kill them all, had them backed up against the Red Sea. The people were beginning to panic, and Moses said, stand still and watch what God's about to do. He had tremendous poise. He didn't panic. He operated by faith, and that's the opposite of panic. David had the same sort of poise when he faced Goliath in the Bible. The spiritual strength of poise eliminates the override of emotions. You know why? Because emotions only focus on the problem and not the solution. Here's something you should remember. Human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. Human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. So how do you maintain your poise? Well, it's simple. It's problem-solving device number 3 called the faith rest drill. standing on the promises of God. That's the key to having a relaxed mental attitude. You've got to have that poise in order to apply the Word of God under intense adversity. And I believe that that poise comes from insight and understanding, which is manifested in the Bible as wisdom in God's plan. In Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Insight, knowledge, understanding, that's what wisdom is. It's the ability to see beyond circumstances. It's the ability to see what other people don't see. I call it spiritual X-ray vision. But when you have spiritual wisdom, then you can see how God's working, how God's operating. But it's always going to be up to you. It's always going to be a test of your volition. It's always going to be whether or not you're willing to trust God. Poise means you are relaxed. You have a cool mental attitude. You're not panicking like a dog's tail wagging 90 miles an hour every time you come home from work and the dog's waiting on you and the tail's going crazy. Your mind can do that. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't focus. You can't concentrate because of the fear, panic ploy setting in. And there's no poise when that hits your life like that. So if you're going to be an MVP for God, you've got to establish momentum, which is consistent study of the Word of God on a consistent basis under a well-qualified pastor. You've got to develop virtue, which is great integrity from the Word of God in your soul. And you got to have poise, which is the ability to think under pressure. If you can do that, then you're the kind of person God's looking for. You're the kind of person that God's looking to stand in the gap. Now, this is what we need in America. I'm very happy we have a new president. I'm very happy that the direction of this country appears to be changing. But do not kid yourself. It's not any person that's going to make a difference. It's you. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the direction of this country. And if you think it's all up to the president and his cabinet and all up to the people he appointed, you're dead mistaken. It's up to you. God is looking at you. Remember that passage? If my people that are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayer, heal their land. You're the solution, not the president. You. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the destiny of America. It's my prayer that as a believer you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you will become the man or the woman that God destined you to be, and that you will be able to stand in the gap and make up the hedge between God's discipline and this nation. We just need a few MVPs. I'd like to know that I can count on you. Will you contact me and let me know? Send me a note. Give me a call. Say, hey, I heard your message. You can count on me. I'm going to be the MVP. If you'd like a transcript of it, let us know. We'll get it to you. And if you need any of our books, go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and order especially Christian Problem Solving, which deals with the flat line of your soul and explains what each one of them is. I hope you've been listening, and I hope you're paying attention, and I hope this message will challenge you to be the spiritual MVP that God is looking for. So until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.